Welcome everyone to Three Nerds in a Basement. I'm your host, Vincent Sanchez. To my right, Anthony Fluco.
What?
To my left, Blavin Jaramillo.
So,
oh, hey,
and the world just seems a little bit sadder without Steve Jobs in the...
Does it?
My Facebook feed exploded when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, say what you will about the guy, he's definitely changed the world.
Yeah, but do you think that a lot of people knew that before he died? Or realized it before he died, honestly?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
He's not really a public figure. He's not a Michael Jackson where people will talk about him all the time.
Do you think that a lot of people just jumped on the bandwagon?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Of course.
Like, when that happened, I'm like, where's all the Apple haters?
Yeah.
Suddenly everybody just loves Apple because, you know, being an asshole Apple fanboy, you know, I kind of read that shit all the time. So I'm like, yo, where are all the haters today? Oh, looks like you're not a hater anymore now that Jobs is gone.
Because something actually bad happened.
Yeah, but no, like, it's definitely changed my world. I mean, this podcast probably wouldn't exist without him.
Yeah, I wouldn't have music. I'd have to use it as a Sony product.
Or a Windows product.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So respects out to the man.
Respect.
Word.
Cool. On today's episode, we will be reviewing the brand new Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie, Real Steel.
Yes!
But first, let's get on with our weeks. Anthony, tell me about some Dark Souls.
First, I want to tell, I pre-ordered Dark Souls to get that
collector's edition
upgrade.
Yes.
Can you tell us about the collector's edition?
There isn't. I didn't get it.
Oh!
I know.
Were you pissed off?
I was kind of pissed. Because I on their site, they say, it's pre-order, get the free upgrade, that's it. There's no cutoff for when you have to pre-order.
Oh.
So I go there, and I'm like, hey, what's up? Collect my Dark Souls, please. And they're like, yeah, here you go. And they just give me the disc, or the disc. No, they just give me the regular standard
edition
case. Regular
edition, yes.
So it's like, I thought I got the special edition.
Yeah.
Where's all my shit?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh no, the Namco Bandai cut us off around, like, mid-September.
Oh.
So only people who pre-ordered, like, way back then got it. And they didn't mention that on their site or anything. And then also, apparently, for the people who did get the special edition, the soundtrack, the strategy guide...
It's all digital.
And something else, they put it digital as a download code. So you don't get a physical thing. The only thing you get physical is the steelbook and the art book.
Considering it's free, I don't think there's really anything to complain about.
Yeah, but I just want it.
Demon's Souls special edition, I think we lucked out.
We did luck out, Blavin.
You did luck out, and now I'm...
You know what? Okay, give me till after Thanksgiving. I bet you I can find a copy. Special edition.
Totally buy it.
I'll buy it, and then I'll sell it on eBay, because it's going for like $300 on eBay.
Yeah, they're going like crazy
prices.
Aren't
you
going
to be nice and just give it to your friend for Christmas?
No.
No? What? I already own a copy. Why would you do that?
Well, no, I mean, you'll be like, here, listen, it's unfortunate to hear about your... out of all the people, I know this means a lot to you. Especially
Steelbook.
Yeah, and like that must have made you quite.
I'd
be agitated.
I was shocked. I was like, I go there and she puts this out, and I'm just like, she's like, oh, how are you paying with? And I'm just standing there staring at the disc, and she's like, hello, and I had to be like snapped out.
Yeah, wow. I thought you would have some sort of reaction like that.
Yeah, no, I heard like there's a lot of issues upon release day for getting the collector's edition. I heard though that everybody got it off Amazon got the collector's edition though.
Ooh. Get some stigma with Amazon forever.
You know, Amazon's pretty good with their pre-order bonuses.
Yeah.
Good things.
The only thing is, like, you gotta wait an extra day.
And
that's the thing.
You know what? To get all that physical shit, I would...
Like, I ordered my Disgaea 4 special edition from Amazon.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what was in it, the special edition? A steelbook?
For Disgaea? Oh, for Dark Souls? It was a steelbook, a hardcover art book, and then they said it was going to be a mini strategy guide, a soundtrack.
Yeah, I can't remember. It looked like a whole bunch of stuff, but then eventually, I just saw that one, like, Photoshop picture where, like, half of it was circled and said digital all over it.
Yeah. Joystick had a good one, too, where it was just all pixelated.
Yeah.
On one side. But yeah, that kind of sucked, but... The game makes up for it. Like, it's...
Okay.
So it is a spiritual successor to Demon's Souls. Don't expect a lot different. The gameplay is still super dependent on your animations. So you know how, that game has deliberately long animations for both the players and the enemies?
Yeah.
So you still have to be aware of that. You can't... If you attack, you're committing. Also, there's no central hub anymore. So how it works is, in Demon's Souls, there was the Nexus, where you went back to every time, and you went to different pillars to go to, like, 1-4, 1-3. But in this one, you start off in an area, and it's kind of the same, too. You just start off in a dungeon, you work your way up, and then there's, like, a big, massive boss, and you're like, oh, okay, this is probably where I'm going to die, and I'll go back to see what happens when I die. It's like, no, you just die.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to beat this huge, hulking guy.
Yeah.
But you have to dodge him the first time. After you get past that tutorial area, you start off in is what is now just a giant world. There is sort of a central hub. There are shortcuts to get back to this main area with the where you start. But other than that, it's all a big world. The one thing I'll say, though, is the game is actually much harder than Demon's Souls. Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of crazy to believe that. But since there's not a lot of any structure to the levels and the areas, or it doesn't tell you where to go at all.
That's what I was going to say. Is it still like Demon's Souls where they tell you nothing?
Yeah, they tell you nothing. You get in there, they tell you nothing.
Okay.
There are better explanations in game. So if you go into the stat screen, there are explanations for what each stat does finally. So you can kind of get stuff for that instead of having to, like, I didn't know what the stats did in Demon's Souls until about 30 hours in when I referenced the manual.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big upgrade.
I thought you would have read that first since you're such an anal for instruction manuals.
Yeah.
Wow. But strategy guy did all that?
Jerks. No, but it's really cool because all the world is so bleak and dark, hence the game Dark Souls. But it's like, you seriously...
What, you want light bodies?
Yeah, light bodies. No, but as going through this game, you kind of feel that the difficulty is adding to the environment because like everything is so dark and so bleak. This difficulty curve is like, man, this place is fucked up. Mm-hmm. And it kind of adds to the experience of you wandering through the levels. So the different areas I've been is to this castle.
Yeah.
I'm working my way up to a church to ring a bell.
Yes.
And that has, you start off on castle walls, you go inside churches, in sewers, under bridges. There's a lot of side paths. But mm-hmm. those side paths are totally not meant for you to go the first time around.
Okay.
Like, there is one enemy, he's like just a huge hulking guy full of iron. I killed the guys around him, and so he comes up to me, and I was like, oh, this guy's huge, he's gonna be slow, I'll just circle around mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. Dude, he's so fast! He comes up, swipes me once, dead.
Okay.
Full to dead. Or there's another area where you're in a forest, and there are these trees, these tree monsters, and they have a vine whip attack, kinda, so it's ranged.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, since they're ranged, obviously there's gonna have a weakness when I come in close.
Yes.
No. They're like, their center opens up and they eat you.
Yeah.
And then they crunch on you for a bit and then you mm-hmm. die. And there's a lot of crazy traps like that. Even with, I went to a place called the Wavering something. Mm-hmm. I forget. But what happened is like, there was this huge dragon on a cliff and it was like all decrepit and decaying. I was like, man, that's such a cool set piece. And there were two bodies within the circle of where his claw was and his face was. And so I go in to collect the items. Dragon comes alive, claws me dead. Wow. Like, there's a lot of traps like that. So you really have to be aware of your surroundings. Like, don't think anything is a set piece.
Okay, here's an important question. If I didn't like Demon's Souls, why should I play this?
You have no reason to, really.
Really? So there's...
If you tried Demon's Souls, like, gave it a fair chance.
Yes.
Like, there is... It's the same game, but harder.
Do you like Demon's Souls?
Not really. Like, I respect everything it's trying to do, but it's not the type of game I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's
an experience.
It's technically demanding.
Honestly, I feel like it's a game that people play just to say they play it.
There is that kind of, like, e-penis forum thing going on, with it's like, oh, I beat Demon's Souls.
Like my biggest problem with these Souls games is that the way, like, they're the basic... At the heart of the game, it's you learn from failing, and that's not fun to me. Like, I don't want to go in, have to purposely die, so I can learn what to do later.
And there are less parts like that. Like I said, there are a lot of trappings, but compared to Demon's Souls, there are less. It's just because like the different areas are smaller.
Yeah.
It seems tighter packed. But like, there was one part where there's just a bridge,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, there's a bunch of guys at the end. I'll go walk on the bridge. Dragon comes, sets the whole bridge ablaze, I die.
I thought you would have learned from Demon's Souls not to do that.
See, that's the thing, though. Like, I knew, I was like, there's going to be a dragon here from Demon's Souls. But there is no apparent hint to where a dragon is, or he just appears.
I think that's why it's there, because you're supposed to know.
Because even in Demon's Souls, he wasn't there. He was sleeping in the side of you.
But you have the... There was the opening cutscene of him on, like, the dragon coming around and, like, taking out a bunch of guys. And then, so there, you knew that a dragon existed somewhere in this world.
I guess.
Yes.
But the new save system's kind of cool. It still auto-saves everywhere you go. But instead of going back to the Nexus, it's all bonfires. So when you get to an area, think of it as a checkpoint. When you die, you revive at the last bonfire you rested at.
Yes.
But when you rest at a bonfire, all the enemies respawn. And also, there are no more herbs and, like, those kind of collectible healing items. You have what is called an Estus Flask. And it's basically potions. And they get refilled every time you go to a bonfire. And then there's different souls you can use to upgrade your flak or just eat the soul to gain more.
Yes.
Like, just get 10. The herbs eventually, late-game Demon Souls, made it super easy, because I just had, like, 99 black herbs.
Of course.
And I was just refilling my life, no problem. So this is pretty much keeping me on my toes the whole time.
Yeah.
I loved Demon Souls, so I love this game. Like, if you like you like Demon Souls, pick it up. Like, you won't be disappointed. But I got a recap of my stealth run in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yep.
I finally got the Shadow Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out the Metal Gear 1 solid segment
mm-hmm.
doesn't count towards kills or alerts.
Really?
So that was a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, so I lucked out there because that segment is kind of tough, just control-wise. So far, it's been easier than I thought it would be because of the Drebin Shop. Me just able to buy as many Trank rounds as I want. That really helps.
I take it you also bought, like, the sniper rifle with the Trank on it?
No, that thing's loud. It's not silenced or anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I use it on bosses.
Okay.
Because it does more Trank damage.
Yeah.
But other than that, there are some segments, like the motorcycle segment, without...
How do you get not spotted?
That doesn't count as being spotted because there's no alerts.
Yeah.
But you can't kill anybody.
Oh, God.
So you're constantly throwing flashbangs, trying to Trank guys in the turrets.
Yeah. What difficulty are you playing on?
Normal. Like.
Why don't you just play on easy if you're going to do a stealth run?
Nah. It's like I already beat it on...
Okay.
Whatever. It's like, I'm not going to do, like, the crazy big boss runs, like, get the big boss emblem, but I was like, I might as well be kind of hard.
Yeah.
And then the last one is, I finally bought my own magic deck.
Oh, yay!
With it's called Bloodlust?
Blood and Fire. Oh, Bloodthirst?
Bloodthirst. There you go. It's a dark and fire deck.
And black and red.
Black and red.
Colors.
Yeah.
Black and red deck, and how it works is, the main gimmick with a lot of these characters is... When I do a point of damage to the player, when I summon a monster after I've done that damage, it gets counters on it. So mm-hmm. it'll give like a plus one, mm-hmm. plus one counter, or two plus one counters, and they get beefed up.
Right.
And so it's pretty much just like get out strong guys and attack. There's no like really fancy effects. It's really straightforward, and it's really fun.
Cool.
So, and then the final thing is I bought House Season 1.
Oh, you bought House?
Yeah.
Wow.
On DVD. I watched 2 to 6 before, but my ex-girlfriend didn't have 1 because she lent it to a friend, but that person never gave it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So then I picked this up to finally have backstory to what happened in season 1, and I just haven't watched the two new seasons, the one where he gets the genius girl and the new one where he's in jail.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I really love that show.
All right, Blavin, what's up with your week?
I watched a couple of movies. So I watched Legally Extraordinary Gentleman again.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
He is one of the people in it, and I think the rest of the people are pretty no-name.
Yeah, I think this is like their only shot at fame.
Is Sean Connery a dragon?
No, this isn't Dragonheart.
God damn it!
Oh, okay.
I love Dragonheart.
I thought you were going to say like Red Dragon with Anthony Hopkins.
No. But so it's pretty good, you know. It's interesting because they recruit all these people, but they're like superheroes that aren't really superheroes.
They're like the not superheroes?
Yeah, like I looked up Sean Connery's character is Alan Quatermain, which is a misconception. People call him Quartermain, like quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently you can spell it both ways, and so whatever.
That's pretty cool.
Anyway, he was like a super old novel hero, like in the old novels, and he was just traveling in Africa, and here he makes him look like an unkillable person.
Yeah.
They got, that's him. They got the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
And he's from such stories.
Yeah.
The original Invisible Man. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yep.
Is it 30,000 Leagues Under the Sea? Or, like, is there another number?
No, I think that's it.
Is it 30,000?
Yeah, so there's the Nautilus and Captain Nemo.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember the Nautilus? Oh, you haven't
seen it? I don't.
Oh, it's like a huge submarine, but it's, like, flat and straight, and it goes for miles, so it's, like, a sword.
Oh, wow.
It's called the Sword of the Ocean.
Wow.
That is a good, retelling. Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer.
Oh, Tom Sawyer.
Like, from those novels?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, really? And they make him out to do this American secret agent who shoots all American double guns and rifles.
This sounds awesome.
I know, it does. They got, you know, Bram Stoker's Dracula? And so, you know, he's killed by Van Helsing, right?
Yes, yeah.
And you know, he had a friend with him, right?
Yes.
I think it's William Harker. And his wife got bitten by Dracula, Wilhelmina, or Mina Harker. She's in it. Okay. So, yeah.
Oh, they're really going all
vampire.
Wow.
What else they got? Oh, finally, the last one is Dorian Gray. So, we all know about Dorian, right? Do you know about Dorian Gray?
No.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about him after. Okay. Let's just say he can't be killed.
Let's just say he's invincible.
He is. That's what they make it out to be. All right, so basically they say that these people, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Gentlewomen, are recruited under the British Empire to stop a war. What kind of war? A war between nations. A world war. That's what they put it, and I just choked up a little bit. So.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a pretty good action flick. It's a feel-good action flick. A lot of younger viewers, I don't think, would know any of the characters in it at all.
Probably not.
So, if you're into the whole old novel type thing, even the bad guy is a throwback to a certain villain in old novels.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a really good watch for me, at least, because I read also the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen comic books done by Alan Moore.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's a fun watch. I really recommend it if you're an action fan, if you like superhero-type movies. It's not your traditional sense of superhero movies, but there's enough weird powers that you'd enjoy it.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, to me at least. Other people don't like it, so. It received universally terrible reviews.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. That's why they don't make a sequel.
Aww.
The next movie I watched is the new Dorian Gray, which is in 2010. So it has Colin Firth, I think, and Ben something.
Kingsley.
No.
Aww.
Well, anyway, the whole story about Dorian Gray is that he's super pretty, and he gets a paint portrait made out of him, and he makes a deal with the devil, or some sort of demon, I guess. But he never really talks to it. He just says, yes, I would trade my soul.
No.
And basically, his portrait ages instead of him, and any sins that he commits is reflected onto his painting, so it'll rot a little bit more every time does something. So, yeah, it's basically this guy's life throughout basically the ages of him growing, not growing any older, and going through life, fulfilling in any sort of vice he could find, and then see how he lives with it. It's a really interesting watch. I mean, most people, the book is by Oscar Wilde, so if you don't really want to read that, this is just a good little, I guess.
It's a book?
It's a book by Oscar Wilde, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to...
The Picture of Dorian Gray.
I need something for work.
Yeah, so that's a really good... promoting a workplace, you know.
Efficiency.
Efficiency, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you like Dorian Gray... I think this is a pretty good movie. It takes some liberties with the story as well. And I mean, there are some departures that make it easier for a person to understand.
Right.
But, yeah, overall, I think it's a really good movie if you like learning about Dorian Gray or you've always been curious.
Right.
Have you heard about him before?
Little bits here and there, but I don't really know his like origin story or anything. So.
Yeah, well, that's basically it.
Yeah.
So he just makes a deal. And it's interesting to see how he feels from the beginning to the end. Because at the beginning, he's so like innocent. Like he's so new and so green when he comes to London. And then after, at the end, he's just tired of the world.
Oh, wow.
Still makes me want to be immortal.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds exciting.
I want to be immortal.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
We should all be immortal.
We should. Three Nerds in a Basement forever.
Episode 1 million.
I also started reading this book called Games People Play. Because I'm trying to learn neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard about that before.
No.
Where it's like you talk to people and you sort of like program them with touches and what you say.
Oh, sort of yes. So like sort of...
influence what they're going to do.
Yes.
Kind of like what Darren Brown does, or
yeah,
basically what he does.
Yeah.
And this is, I guess, a starting point, just learning about social interactions. And it's an interesting book. I've only gotten through the first three chapters. And it talks about transaction analysis. So
yeah,
it breaks down every interaction that a person has into like steps and what they call games.
Mm-hmm.
So like... basically, you have a complementary transaction. So you have three ego states, a parent, an adult, and a child.
Yep.
So a parent acts like your parent in your life. Adult is just you objectifyingly making a decision just by the facts presented to you. And child is basically your childlike state. So complementary transaction, like, for example, me to Vince is and my adult to your adult, and you respond with your adult to my adult.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, where's my game? Oh, it's down the shelf. But instead, if I go... my adult to your adult, where's my game? And then you go to your child to my parent and be like, or sorry, your parent to my child and be like, shouldn't you keep track of your own games? You're not a child anymore.
Yeah.
That's a cross transaction.
Yeah.
So that's why we get into a conflict.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff they talk about. And then they break down those interactions between those vectors into different games. And I'm interested to see if these games actually do happen. Because like, I've read one game and it was like, wow, that does happen quite often.
I think when you finish the book, you'll realize it happens a lot more than you think.
Yeah, because it's like games that everyone plays, like,
yeah,
even passive aggressiveness. Like,
of course.
That's why they say, like, when girls are saying stuff and, like, they invite you to say, everything's okay.
Yeah.
You know it's not okay,
yeah,
but you just don't know why.
Yeah, like, at every one of my workplaces I've ever worked at, if you ever work at someone with a big staff, there's always, like, it ends up being, like, school, like, different groups.
Yeah,
like,
he's finding this cliques thing, too.
Yeah.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah. Well, it's like I always find it at my work, and I always I'm always forced to pick sides, but I never like picking sides. So it's just speak and only say the things I know that won't get me in trouble. Or like,
yeah,
I only say the things that will help me.
You have to watch out, eh?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. A really interesting thing I talked about is they talked about was strokes. So it's basically like they said that a child when they're younger, if they don't get any stimulus from their mom or whatever, yeah, or a parent figure, their spinal cord sort of shrivels up because they don't get any like stimulus, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they call stroking, just a stimulus to your spinal cord. So like when you're bored, you're not getting stimuli, so it's like bad for your mind, right? So what's interesting is that when you have another thing that they call a ritual that people have is the greeting ritual. So when you talk to someone, when you see them like every day, you just say, hey, what's up? Oh, hey, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
And that one stroke from me to you and you to me is enough for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem weird or anything. And like you're completely fine with just stopping.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't seen someone for a long time, you owe them more strokes because they expect more strokes because they haven't seen you such a long time, right?
Mm.
If you give them less, they're like, do you not care about me? Like, what the hell,
yep,
right? Or if you only know someone for like an acquaintance and then you meet them and then you give them too many strokes, they're like, why do you keep talking to me? We don't know each other. And like, it's interesting. Like, I never really thought about that. I know that it happens. Like, somebody who talks to me shouldn't talk to me that much. But this just puts some sort of like, I guess, perspective on it, or scientific like viewpoint on it. I thought that was cool. And I think that's most of my week.
All right. So for me, this week, I watched a couple of shows. So I
used... Did you?
Yes, I did. Thank God. I watched... I caught up on Thundercats.
Ooh.
Hope.
And that show is really, really good, like, throughout. It's pretty awesome. Now that, like, last you remember Lionel's whole kingdom died, and he's, like, the leader, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
His whole kingdom died?
Yeah. Yeah, that was, like, the opening episode.
It was rough.
As you know, he's the leader, but he has, like, he commands no respect from his crew.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, so he has to earn that respect. I've already mentioned I like this guy because his voice actor is the same one as Terry McGinnis from Batman Beyond. Who I found out is... You guys ever watch Boy Meets World?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you remember the older brother, Eric?
Oh, no way!
Yeah, that's him.
Cool.
That's him.
Don't tell me they made Girls Topanga.
No, it's not.
No. I wish it was.
No, but that's him. And I don't know if it's because it's the same voice actor, but his character is very similar to Terry. The only difference is when Terry, like, overambitious, wants to get revenge really easily, but... When Terry does something wrong, Bruce is always there to help him out, like, to teach him a lesson. Lionel doesn't have that.
So he just does it and
fails. Yeah, so he either has to learn it through situation or through listening to what his team is trying to tell him. And it's not like the type of show where it's like 9 times out of 10 he's always wrong or he's always right. It's really 50-50. Like, sometimes he'll be right, sometimes he'll be wrong. And it's really fun to see what happens. There's a lot of more mechs, different types of mechs going on. You fill out the rest of the crew, so you get, like, Panthro and stuff.
That's cool.
But it's a really good show. I really recommend people to watch it. The other show I watched was Voltron Force, another 80s resurrection. I loved Voltron back in the day.
I never watched Voltron.
Voltron Force is... It has so many things going for it, but ultimately it's not a good show. It is... The animation, first of all, is very...
American.
It reminds you of shows like Danny Phantom.
Oh.
Oh, I think it's
Fairly Odd Parents and stuff?
Not to that extent, but it has a lot of mimicking... animation styles.
Okay.
And the script is written for a child with ADD. And I don't mean like action here, action there, action there. It's the story never has time to set in your brain. They kind of just hint something, reveal it. Hint something, reveal it. They never... So you never really get any sort of sense of peril or anything like that.
Build up.
And it's full of terrible puns that they're saying...
Yes.
All the characters are the same. They're all witty and, like, I don't know. I guess that's what's in with the kids. Like, I like witty characters, but I don't like my whole cast of characters to be like that.
Then the wit isn't special anymore.
Right. It's gone. The animations for Voltron, though, are interesting because they're kind of like CG/cel-shaded.
Yeah.
I really like the new design of the lines. You can really tell that they're all different.
Yeah.
I know you don't like it because you're like a generation one.
No, they look really jaggedy.
Yeah. Like harsh angles?
Yeah, like harsh angles.
Oh, you see, like, I love harsh angles.
Okay,
and
okay.
Chunk and stuff.
Chunk.
Yeah. And when they combine, they still manage to look like the original Voltron.
Not less blocky.
Okay, yeah. He looks like he has more...
Because he's been working out.
Yeah. Exactly. But he still does the thing where, like...
Roar,
yeah,
roar,
roar, roar, roar, roar. It's like, form arms and legs or whatever.
You never used to watch Voltron?
No.
Voltron's fantastic.
I was born on 90, so I was too young for that.
We would have been too. We wouldn't have remembered either. I think we watched reruns.
Yeah, I watched reruns
too. Well, when he vaults in, it's the different show. Yeah. But when he combines, he has lions for arms and legs, so he goes roar with one hand, roar with the other hand, roar with one leg, roar with the other leg.
Yeah, when he forms, he goes form, feet and legs, and he goes arms and torso, and he goes, and then the leader goes, now I'll form the head.
That's really funny.
Bitches, remind you.
I'm gonna remind you, I'm the leader.
And the black one is the torso, hips,
and the head. He's the only one with wings.
Like, if you ever got the toy, the black one's the hugest one.
Yeah, the black one's the best. No, the premise is really good, though, because it actually takes place 7 years after the original cartoon.
What? So yeah. Voltron has been working out.
So Voltron, like, the story goes, he's been banished as the universe's guardian. Like, he... Yeah.
Why does that always happen?
No, but like
he got set up, and so they put him away. All the pilots have been disbanded right now.
Oh, so do you think they're coming back?
No, they are back. Yeah, see, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the whole story, like, you think it's cool. It's like, oh, they kind of just revealed everything to you.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, like the premise is awesome, but the pilots, show is stupid.
Are the pilots as cool as I think they're going to be or no?
They're older, so they're a lot more tired, and they look a lot more Americanized. Like, they don't look like that old anime self.
Yeah, I know.
So, but like, what's that fat guy's name?
Oh, I don't know. But, like, was he a judo guy? I don't know.
I don't know, but anyways, he's Jack now.
Oh, yeah.
Commander Keith still has a mullet.
Commander Keith.
Yeah. The original Blue Lion dude,
he's the long hair one, right?
Well, he's not in anymore, right? He died. In the original Voltron. Of course.
I'm just waiting for, like, Captain Planet to be remade or something.
Oh, that would be something else.
I don't get another
power of
So,
parts. Wait,
so he's banished. That means Voltron... This is a new Voltron? This isn't the old Voltron?
No, this is the first... The opening is them trying to get Voltron back and the crew back together.
Oh my god, that sounds like a really cool premise.
It's a really cool premise, but the show is terrible.
Ah,
that's disappointing.
That's yeah, really disappointing. That's why. It's like, it has so many things going for it, but...
It seems it has so much potential.
Yeah, right. It was just unfortunately picked up by the wrong company.
Yeah, but everybody's complaining about the Americanization, but I think that it really doesn't... The story doesn't lend itself well to Americanization.
No, no.
That's what the thing reminds me of. It reminds me of, do you guys ever watch Clash of the Titans?
Oh, I remember that one.
Do you remember that kind of animation? It's like that.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. Like super Americanized.
I got it.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, so,
oh, yeah, that one show.
On it was on Teletoon. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean...
If they had Justice League type animation, that would have made it a lot better.
Yeah, but it's not.
I know, but yeah.
I wish that the people who are doing Thundercats actually picked up Voltron instead.
But it'll be all anime and stuff, but American enough.
Yeah, but Voltron was all anime.
Yeah, it was.
So, I mean, that's Voltron Force. If you want to check it out. I mean, it depends how much of a Voltron fan you are.
Yeah.
Is how much you're going to like it.
Or how much you're going to hate it.
Yeah. The only real game I put any extra time into is Game Dev Story on my iPhone. Or not Ooh. Game Dev Story, sorry. Grand Prix Story.
Ooh.
It's basically, if you've heard Game Dev Story, Hot Spring Story, it's the same thing, only this time you are a
race car.
Race team manager. You hire two race drivers.
Seems like right up your alley.
Yo, it's totally right up my alley. And they have, like, parodies of real race car drivers.
Are those games, like, Game Dev Story, like, who's the company that makes that again?
Kairosoft.
Are their games released on Android as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Some of them are on Android first. Like, this one was on Android first.
Are they on Cyborg?
What?
Are they on the N-Gage?
Getting
Gizmodo?
No.
Are they on my Zune?
they might be. Windows Phone.
Windows Phone? That Windows Phone looks nice. My sister has one.
Yeah. But, it's really fun.
All right. I saw you just burning it up. Did you defeat Formula Uno?
Yeah, I got the Formula Number 1, but I lost, so I'm trying to redo that again.
Trying to get back my losses. Yeah,
it looks like I gotta grind a bit more before I can beat it.
Love it.
The other game I played is another racing game. I've been hooked on the Forza 4 demo.
Auto Vista?
What?
You going checking out all the cars in Auto Vista?
That's not available in the demo.
Ah.
All I'll say about Forza 4 is, like, yeah, it has great lighting system, the cars look nice, the handling system's a lot better. But the important thing, though, is I've had a lot more fun playing this demo than I had the entirety of Gran Turismo 5.
Ooh.
Why does everyone rail on Gran Turismo 5?
It was a bad launch.
Because it's not that fun.
You don't like handling real cars?
I do like handling real cars. That game has a broken tire simulation.
Oh, okay.
And it's a weight... Like, that game crumbles the minute you make contact with something. Whether it's a car or the wall, that game's physics system just breaks down. It can't handle it. Like, it's like, what?
System failure.
It's cool, though, for just on a sidetrack from Forza, that the team is still working on 5. Like, they just came out with a big new 2.0 patch.
Which is releasing the same day as Forza 4.
Yeah, I wonder why.
So, I mean...
But it's still cool that, like, for people who don't have the option of buying Forza, they are still upgrading it to make it a better experience than it was.
The thing is, though, like, I think here in North America, the name Gran Turismo is pretty much dead.
What?
I don't think it's...
I thought it was synonymous with racing games.
No, I think in Europe it is. But I think...
Europe, it's huge.
I think... I do think Forza 4 is going to take the title, because on the cover of Forza 4 is a big logo that says Top Gear on it. And Jeremy Clarkson narrates all that Auto Vista stuff. And so...
Is that hot for you?
That's hot for any motorsport fan.
Listen, I only watch Top Gear casually, and I haven't even seen Auto Vista yet. That's already hot for me.
You know, like... What's Auto Vista? It's basically, you just look at the car, like...
It's like a museum mode.
Super high detailed, and he'll tell you, like, he'll just narrate things that are interesting.
It's about like, oh, the car. This panel right here was actually built in Germany.
Yeah, like, the first thing I... Like, remember when we went... And we saw that DeLorean, the DMC?
Yeah.
Like, I saw a video of that, and Jeremy Clarkson just saying, this was a terrible vehicle at launch. The only reason it was popular is because Back to the Future, but reliability issues, like, hampered it, and blah, blah, blah.
It's cool that they let him kind of say his own personal
thoughts
on cars and not just stick to a script.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that was a nice choice.
As much as I love the demo, though, like, and I really want to buy this game, I'm not going to, because they've committed to 1 year of DLC every month.
Mm-hmm.
1 year of DLC every month?
Like, for the next year, every month, they'll have a new car pack, a new track pack, every month. And that's going to be, like, $5 every month.
Yeah.
They did this with Forza 3. The following Christmas, they had the Ultimate Pack for $30 that had everything.
That's usually... Big-name games like that usually bring so up the, like, Game of the Year edition.
As much as I want to pick it up, it's like, I know better than that.
I know you.
It's like...
So you have this thing that I don't. It's called self-control. And when a game comes out, but you know there's going to be something with all the DLC for cheaper later, it's like, fuck it.
Last thing, I read Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Number one.
Number
uno. 2011 edition, not the 2001. So this is, they're pitching it as a reboot, but it's more like a reintroduction.
Okay.
Because it actually takes place after the original Spider-Man.
He's dead.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a reboot.
Well, spoilers!
Everybody knows it.
Oh, okay.
It's all over the
news. That's like, you don't have...
Ultimate Spider-Man is dead.
You don't have to know anything about Ultimate Spider-Man. All you gotta know is...
That he died. That,
Green Goblin killed him.
Wow. Shoot a missile in his face?
Nope, stabbed him.
That's it? No.
Yeah. But anyways, that's all you need to know.
I think.
That's all you need to know. There's a new kid.
Miles Morales.
He is half African-American, half Latino.
If you say another half, that's going to be more than 100%.
No, that's it. He's also in grade 8.
Awesome.
Are we serious on this? Because actually, that's his age?
He's really young. He comes from poverty, and he gets bit by a spider.
Again?
His powers, though, are a little bit different. I don't want to spoil them. Like, if you want to know what they are, go read the comic, because it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. It's gotten a lot of controversy just because, you know, he's not Peter Parker. Everybody loves Peter Parker, right? And a lot of people are saying, oh my god, they just want more attention because they gave him, like, a black character, right, from poverty. Like, it's so, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but, like, it's almost like they put that there purposely to get attention. Like,
it's a publicity stunt.
Yeah, that's the controversy around. But honestly, the story is really good so far. Only the first two issues are out, and I'm really enjoying it. But what it has done for me is I've gone back and I've picked up the entire Marvel Ultimate Spider-Man run, and I'm going to read that.
I will tell you right now, Ultimate Spider-Man's good. I enjoyed it a lot.
I heard that the first, like, 60 are good.
Like, 60 issues?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a certain... I was going to warn you that after a certain point, just start pulling strings.
Yeah.
They just really on a short thread.
But I just heard that the first 60 is supposed to be awesome.
Like, I like the parts with, like... I like their take on certain characters.
Yeah.
Like, Venom and Carnage and, like, all those other characters, which are two of my favorite. But, like, it's a fresh enough spin that if you like Spider-Man...
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not a big enough departure that you're like, wow, is that really...
It's basically for those who got into Spider-Man when they watched the movies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, like, you wanted to know about Spider-Man, you don't want to worry about all that legacy stuff.
You know he's coming back, right? Like,
coming back.
No one stays dead in comics, ever, period.
The one above all.
He's coming back with Ben Parker.
Uncle Ben's?
Yeah.
You know my favorite writer is Peter Parker?
Yeah, I saw this best picture on Membase. It was like, J. Jonah Jameson of the movie, and he's like, hey, Parker, and then it's just Tobey Maguire, what? Guess what my favorite type of rice is? He's like, what kind? Uncle Ben's. And it's just a face of J. Jonah Jameson laughing, and then Peter Parker's crying face when his uncle died.
Oh my god.
That's awesome.
pretty good.
Yeah, okay, cool. Anyways, that has been my week, so...
It's been all our week.
Yeah, that's great. Let's end it here for this segment, and we'll come back with our opinions on Real Steel. This week we saw the movie Real Steel starring Australian Hugh Jackman, and the reason they call him Jackman is because he's fucking jacked.
He is huge. So true.
So joining me for this is the regular cast plus Blavin's little brother, Blaze. Say hi.
Hello.
Awesome. So let's just get right into it, and we'll start with the new guy. Blaze, what was your opinion on Real Steel?
My opinion, I think it was like very inspiring because during later on it gets like sad, but then they get back up, just like all sports movies.
Yeah, it's like a father-son story.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you expect that from this movie, or did you expect just robot fighting every 5 minutes?
That's what I expected.
Yeah. I think was that a lot of us expecting that?
I only saw the very first trailers of Real Steel when it was just about like serious, gritty robot fights. And there was no kid in it at all. And so I just expected robot fights.
Cool, Anthony, what do you think of the movie?
Is that it for you, Blaze?
Like, is that it? Nothing else you want to add?
You like it?
Yeah, I liked it very much.
We'll talk about the robot designs after then, so all of us can speak about it. Like, what's your favorite bot?
We need to do that?
I don't know, I would like to hear that. Hey, go on.
Okay, so, yeah, like I said, I really only saw the first trailers when it was no kid, just Hugh Jackman boxing as a robot and, like, going nuts. And so I just really expected... like tons of robot fights, but then I guess maybe they had like a focus test. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this needs to be a father-son story.
Yeah,
and it was actually pretty touching. It was like the kid's a brat, the dad's a brat. Mm-hmm. Everyone else knows that they're brats, but it's like it's this journey throughout of them learning to not be brats.
Okay.
Yeah, and then robot fights ensue along the way.
Nice.
Also, whatever the Russian girl name.
So lady. Hot.
She is so hot. Oh my god.
Yeah, that girl's hot.
Wait, the Russian girl?
Yes. Yeah, whatever her name was.
The really, really, like, preppy one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one who was in charge of Zeus.
Yeah, she's delicious. And
I heard you laugh at her partner. Was it the Japanese guy?
Yeah.
When he first walks in with the hair, and the glasses, just looking all, like, check me out. And he's like, robots.
Zeus would win every fight.
Yes, Zeus.
What did you think about Bailey? I thought she was hot.
Bailey was really hot, too.
You guys never seen Lost?
No, no. I heard she was
She's Lost. The main character I've never Lost. Seen Lost.
She's hot, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she's married to that one hobbit.
Oh, which Sam? One?
Not Sam. Frodo? It's either Merry or Pippin, one of those two.
Oh, good. Atta boys from the Shire.
Yeah, from the Shire.
Hey, Vince, what do you think about it? Our resident robot expert.
So as our resident robot expert, I was really offended that they used the term Generation 1 and Generation 2. No! Oh, I was like, excuse me? No. Get the fuck out.
Honestly, when I looked at his side and that happened, Vince had his like hand on his chest. He was like, excuse me, his mouth agape.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. But no. So
one hand.
I look at this movie as, I guess, today's sort of modern take on the Rocky story.
Yes, it is.
No rags to riches. It was entertaining. The child in me would say, you know what, this movie is awesome. Robots fighting, this kid is doing some awesome shit. Oh, I love it. But the adult in me says, there's just some things I can't look over. One, that kid's acting was terrible. He overacted every scene. Two, they didn't tell you why this robot was so special, this Adam guy. Apparently he just runs on magic. Like,
yo, that's awesome.
Like, there's no reason for him to be this strong.
They say in the movie that he's just a sparring robot meant to take hits.
Yeah.
He's not meant to dish out hits at all, but yet he's taking down all the big robots.
And I thought that, you know, that the driver or the pilot man would have more influence on the robots. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's not the case. Apparently, like...
It's only an Adam situation.
Yeah, only, like, it doesn't matter. Apparently, like, these robots are kind of just doing their own shit and... Pilots just kind of monitor.
Oh, no, they control them, don't they?
Yeah, but it doesn't, like, the pilot has no influence on how strong the robot is.
Oh, yeah, like, you have already built it and stuff.
Yeah, that's why...
This ain't G-Gundam.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, though, like, that's going in, I thought that the pilot would influence, like, because when you see this terrible robot that they have, I always thought, well, it's probably Hugh Jackman who's going to be the star pilot. That's why it goes through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's not the case. It's all robot. The pilot is just sort of there.
Moving it along. Okay, right. All right, I hear you.
You know, and like, they sort of made allusions to that as Hugh Jackman was like a pro boxer. And then it's like, why is Hugh Jackman the only one like who's doing the, you know, get an old fighter and train a robot? Why is he the only one that does that? Why hasn't everybody else done
right,
that?
Right, right, right.
You know? So it was entertaining. I liked it. But ultimately, like, it had its issues, and it doesn't transcend the genre, is what I'm trying to say.
Of course not. I mean, that's what it's trying to do is just stick with the formula and play it in spades.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, this, to me, this movie packed on the cheese so hard.
Yes, it is.
Like, it just, like a cheese factory in there.
Yeah.
It was like every single cliche you could find in a father-son underdog story movie was in this movie.
Yeah, it was there.
Checklist.
Got it. And honestly, is that really a bad thing? If you knew that this is what you're going in for.
I don't think I knew that's what I was going in for, though. Like, the trailers make no allusions to it.
You were thinking that you're going in Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah.
Just fighting all five.
Yeah, like, I knew there was going to be a story, but I didn't think it was going to be, like,
this cheesy?
Yeah, because when you watched the new Rocky, it wasn't that cheesy.
Pretty cheese.
It wasn't, like, this cheese. Like, I didn't realize that this was aimed at, like, 10-year-olds.
They went back to the 80s.
Yeah.
And then made a
robot movie.
Yeah. Because the way this film is marketed, like, it's for the adult. Like, it's current Rocky. I didn't realize it was a child's movie.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's aimed at little kids. So many little kids were in the theater.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was for little kids.
You know what, though? This might be a good date movie.
No.
No, dude.
Definitely not. You know what's a good date movie? 50-50.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really.
This would be the kind of movie you take your little brother to, I guess, and you'd enjoy it as well.
Yes.
Hi, Blaze.
I think. Yeah. No, like, well, Blaze is like 13. So 14. He's a teen. Oh, you're 14?
Yeah.
What?
I'm in high school.
Oh, shit. What's back? Wow. You're first. I don't even know my little brother's
age. I don't know my sister's age, so.
Yeah.
It's okay.
She's legal, right? No. Anyway.
No, she's not.
Anyway, to me, I really like this movie.
Oh, yeah, we could tell.
It was everything I hoped for. I was like, I hope that I'm just going to get a rock. What I didn't like about it was too much acting on the kid's part, like being all like, doggy eyed half the time. I'm just like, oh, I can do with a lot less of this. But I mean, I liked how he was sort of the foil for Hugh Jackman's jerkness. Like,
see, but that's the thing. Like, the movie pins it as you're supposed to hate Hugh Jackman and love the kid.
Yeah.
But I felt the exact opposite the whole time.
I loved Hugh Jackman though.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, he was great.
And that's the thing. Hugh Jackman commits to this role. Like, he's so. It reminds me of Shia in Transformers. Like, he's really in this role.
Yeah. You could tell he was trying to be a jerk bag.
Yeah, and then when he was boxing, it looked kind of authentic when he was training.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, he's really in it.
I think the robot fights were really entertaining. Did you like the last fight as well?
It was a bit drawn out, but yeah.
You
could only, like, watch someone, like, fucking machine gun punch another robot for so long.
Yeah, but did you like, the gimmick that they put in the end? I'm not going to spoil it for everyone.
But you didn't
get excited when you did the gimmick?
Oh, when he did the thing?
Yeah.
He did the thing?
You know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I say shadows, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
I also liked how that part, he boxed way better than all the other parts, too.
And also the fact that they didn't overuse it. There could have been so much more potential for them to abuse that shit.
Mm-hmm. My only problem is, like, throughout the whole movie, they pin it as, like, sort of MMA, but as the movie goes on, it just turns into robot boxing.
What did MMA?
It's literally Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
at the beginning, it's all, like, throws and slams, but then at the end, it's like, why are they just boxing?
Well, it's because, like, they said the league was boxing, right? And then the other places were just, like, no-hold-barred type places, right?
Yeah, but
then robots took over.
Yeah, but they said boxing got tiring, so they moved to things like MMA.
Oh, and then they moved to robot.
Yeah.
You know,
so why was they just boxing?
Maybe Rio Steel 2 is robot MMA.
Maybe.
Submission holds on robots.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Who can't feel pain?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh man, he's choking out the robot. Yeah. He's like, he's clipping his oil tubes. Yeah. All
right, but honestly though, what would you guys give it as a rating out of five jocks?
Jocks.
Okay, you don't need to rate this because you don't know the race. It's kind of weird, yeah.
I give it like a 1.5.
1.5? That's really generous.
Yeah, I like the movie. Don't get me wrong.
I thought you like.
Really... No, I liked it. I just had problems with it that like I can't ignore.
Oh, okay.
I liked
it. Yeah.
I gave it 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was kind of surprised like the way your score at 1.5, but like I did like the movie too.
Yeah.
Like it was. I didn't regret spending $11 on a movie ticket.
Okay.
Like, during the beginning, it was kind of, like, dragging for me. Yeah. But near the end, when they hit all those, like, emotional points
and stuff, the payoff?
Like, it literally made me pump my fist. Like, in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. If a movie can pull that off, like, make me so emotionally invested into it that I just can't control myself.
The payoff is just good.
Yeah, payoff is so good, then...
Yeah, no, and also, yeah. I do like the ending, too. Like, how it wasn't going to be so... You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Like, I do like that ending, so...
Well, after seeing Rocky, I know how, like, I knew it was
gonna... Yeah, of course, you kind of knew, like, that was going to happen, but...
Because, you know, they're not going to give you that much credit.
Yeah, but it still was interesting.
I give it... Honestly...
You're going to give it a zero.
No, I'm going to give it half a jock, the bottom half, only the legs. No, because, like, to me, I really, really enjoyed this movie a lot.
Yes.
But again...
You're, like, jumping around in your seat.
I know, but I really wish there wasn't a lot of that kid.
Yeah. That kid ruined the movie for me.
Me too. I wish he was a bit older. But then it wouldn't have been as adorable, some of the scenes.
Maybe if it was a different actor, that kid plays an integral part. Like, if that kid wasn't there, you wouldn't have those.
Yeah. I honestly think it's just they casted the wrong kid.
Do you think that it would have been different if there was a different grade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would you recommend our audiences to see it then, guys?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, go see it.
Go see it with your buddies.
Like, I don't know about your buddies. If you have a little brother that you can bring with you.
I don't know if you can see it with your bros, but like...
Oh, okay, I guess...
It's not like after a football game, different. You guys take off your jerseys and go watch Real Steel, but...
Just maybe. No, it's just robots fighting each other to the death.
Go see it with your mom. Have a good time. Go see it with your dad.
Oh, father's a bonding.
Yeah.
I saw that.
But I really enjoyed it. Okay, who's your favorite robot?
I'm gonna go with Zeus, just because he looked like Optimus Primal.
He looked like an alien.
He did with the mouth.
Yeah.
And
he looked like an alienware computer.
Didn't they have
one? He did. With the green and the black.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite robot? Pick one.
I'm gonna say the twin-headed.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Twin Cities.
Twin Cities.
Because red.
The one with two heads.
Yeah.
You? I like that statue most of all. The statue,
did you see it?
It looked like a Gundam.
It looked like the Gundam?
The one on the side
except the head's different.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
But everything with the legs and the thing looked like the original Gundam.
Yeah. I was like, sweet.
I love it. You?
The one who got, the professional one who got smoked.
Noisy Boy. I love Noisy
Samurai
Boy.
Samurai Fighter? Like, that's pretty cool.
I think Noisy Boy is the coolest, but just rooting on Adam at the end was pretty good.
Adam did nothing for me.
He's a junker.
He's pretty old, scrappy looking. I just like his headgear.
I just didn't like how he's like, I run on magic.
And he has a fencing mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
That was cut at first, and then they welded it, and you could see the welding.
I was expecting his eyes to flicker, so he's like kind of winking at one point.
Yeah.
But it never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he does run on magic.
Yeah, he fucking runs on magic. I don't know how, but...
Yeah, how come
blue magic.
Blue magic. I was going to say something, but it would have been a spoiler.
Yeah,
it would have been a hell of a spoiler.
Yes, it would have.
Okay.
All right, cool. So there you have it. Go watch Real Steel, right, guys?
Yeah
it was really good.
Have fun.
Awesome. So let's get into letters. We got three of them this week.
Whoa!
First one's from Albert.
Yeah!
Okay.
Topic title, Listener Mail. Last podcast, Anthony said that he ditched me in League of Legends. It's true.
See,
I'm sorry.
We love that you clear up things.
I was so sad. I bought the game club. I can't participate this time because school is serious shit.
No, it's not.
How do you guys manage to find time for school, a job, and this podcast? Also, how do you guys feel about shark fin soup? I recently watched a documentary of it starring Gordon Ramsay, and the shit they do to sharks is messed up.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now.
Albert.
Albert. The thing you said about job, school, and the podcast, it's split between three of us. One of us has a job, one of us has school, one of them doesn't do anything. So I have all the time.
Also, my job is temporary, and also, my next semester of school is two classes for the whole semester.
So there you go. Basically, we run on magic.
We run on blue magic, that's how it works.
I'll tell you, you know what, Albert, you know what your problem is? I think it's you have a lot more time than you think you do, it's just you spend a lot of it not doing anything.
Whoa, okay. What are you making?
No, you know, like, we do this thing at night where we get home and we're like, what do I want to do? Nothing. I'm going to sit there, decide.
And then
2 hours goes by. It's like, I should go to sleep.
True.
You know? The other thing, too, is what you forget to mention is that you also have a girlfriend, and that's probably 90% of your time.
That is a lot of time.
Right? Unless you don't.
Like,
it seems like
unless you last, like, 2 seconds in the sun.
Yeah, like,
Yo, we're done. Get out of here.
Yeah, so I mean that's
we love you.
Exactly.
I do love Albert.
Yeah.
In a very hetero way.
But no, also time.
No gay.
No gay. No homo.
That was my first time hearing about him.
No homo.
He's a man.
Alright, what do you guys feel about shark fin soup?
And basically
what they do to sharks.
I've never tried
I don't know what they do to sharks.
Shark fin soup is delicious. It's good, but it's not something like I tend to
crave.
Yeah, crave.
You don't go into the ocean and kill sharks just to have shark fin soup.
You're not like, you oh, have it. I'm really craving some shark fin soup.
Yeah, no, have you seen how they do it? They just pull sharks out of the water, they take a knife, take its dorsal fin off,
and then just let it go.
And they just throw it.
Yeah. What the fuck? Isn't that like super important?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
That's why I saw what he's talking about, this Gordon Ramsay one. I'm pretty sure Gordon got held at gunpoint by like all the fishermen there or like stuff because they didn't want him filming. And so they held him hostage for like a day or something.
Wow, I gotta watch this now.
Ouch. That's what I remember because I was watching another show where Gordon explains it, how it happened. I can't quite remember. But yeah, it's really cruel. Like, honestly, I could give up shark fin soup for the rest of my life if it meant like no more animal cruelty. Yeah, I could do it. Honestly, what I prefer is bird nest soup, but...
See, well, like, what would have been fine is if for shark fin soup, if they just used the rest of the shark. What? Like, if they killed the shark to get the fin and then also used the rest of the shark. That's like when people hunt for sport, I'm kind of like, you're killing that deer for sport. But, like, my neighbor, when he hunts a deer, right? But he uses every single piece of that deer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Though. I think my favorite type of soup is orangutan toenail soup.
Hey, to each his own.
Dodo soup?
Dodo soup.
I don't have a favorite.
Endangered species soup.
All right, next favorite one is from Dustin.
Hoffman? Dustin.
Dustin Hoffman, yep.
Magic the Gathering draft and Pwnage.
Here we go.
Pwnage.
Hey, nerds.
Yo.
I haven't heard that word in a while.
Yesterday, I went to a Magic draft tournament. Have you guys ever went to one?
Yo.
It was a $10 entrance fee, and everyone gets to pick 3 draft packs. Everyone opens a pack, picks a card, passes it on. Repeat with all the packs. You make a deck with the cards you pick, and then have a tournament. Basic lands are provided by the store owner. After, all rares are taken out and then drafted, going from first place down until they're all gone. You get to keep all the cards you pull. It's an awesome deal. Also, have you seen the web show Pure Pwnage? It's awesome, even though the show got canceled after 9 episodes. It's on YouTube. You should watch it. Just search Pure Pwnage. It's about 21 minutes long. So you guys ever been to a Magic draft tournament?
Yep, I went for Scars of Mirrodin, and I got fucked up.
Did you?
I thought, hey, why don't I just go there and everybody have a level playing field? Oh, Blaven, you didn't know anything about Magic when you came in. So I sit there and I'm like, oh, you could do that? I could have won. He's like, yes, you could have. Shit.
Ouch.
I went to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Draft tournament once, but it was kind of the same thing. It's people who go to those things constantly, they're a lot more creative with the cards they get.
Yeah.
Nope. Like, they know which ones to draft. I mean, it's just like, fuck, this is a rare. It's in.
It's like, yo, this one has like 3,000 attack.
You gotta be like a human encyclopedia to know what you got in those packs. It's like
you have to read up before. And there's drafting skills. You can practice drafting online.
There's players who just do that, and there's players who build decks.
I think
right?
It's an okay deal. However, just the fact that, let's say you pull a mythic, and it's like worth $100, and you don't get first placed.
Yeah.
Sucks to be you. You're not getting that.
Mm-hmm.
I would run.
It's better to do the Mini Masters tournament, where you just open the booster.
Yeah.
And you just keep them all.
Yeah. Where you keep winning.
Yeah.
Richer.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Pure Pwnage, never seen it.
Yeah, never seen it.
I've seen all the web series and all of the...
What is it?
It's basically, it's like a day in the life show, but about this guy named Jeremy.
Yeah.
And he is your typical gamer. He plays PC games like StarCraft all the time, but he's like the ownerer, but it's P-W-N-E-R.
Okay.
And he's basically the best, and it's a story about like... It's a story about him going through like... it's social awkwardness of a gamer. But also just him being awesome at games. So, like, he never really has to have a job because he wins a bunch of stuff off tournaments and then sells them.
Yeah.
And then he goes, it's like a day in the, it's a comedy. There's not really much. It's just him and his gamer friends going through and how socially different they are from others.
Is he actually a real person?
He's an actor. The guy who plays him is an actor.
Okay. Never mind.
And then when the YouTube video started, it went viral. Right, it was FPS Doug. If you ever seen that, he's in the show too. And like that, they thought it was those two guys are just like crazy. No, but they're actors. And then they got a season deal on Showcase.
Yeah,
and I watched. I thought they were all funny. Like since I was a fan of the web series, it followed the same vein but had more budget.
But everyone was like,
but it's a show about gamers. I don't know. Even on a local Ontario station. I don't really see that flying in.
Okay. Last email from Byron Grassing. Thanks for checking out my podcast. That's the subject head. It's Hey Anthony, Blaven, and Vince. Hey, you got that in the right order. Thank you for checking out the podcast I do with my friends, the Powerfruit Podcast. You three inspired me to try and make a video game podcast. Thank you. With you guys doing the game club Shadow of Colossus, it made me think of what game I would like to have an HD version of. Personally, I would love to see an HD version of Conker's Bad Fur Day. So my question to you is, what game or games would you like an HD version of, or a complete remake of the game?
Final Fantasy VII. Did not even give you time to finish.
Watch the level.
Wow.
Sorry.
Shut up.
Not even let one finish, because Final Fantasy VII, best game ever.
Wow.
Sephiroth all the way?
No. For me, it's 8.
8? You want 8?
I do like 8.
You want an HD remake, or do you want a whole remake of 8?
Like, what do you mean by, like, they're going to change
they everything? Just put that, the, what the graphics are now, but in 1080p.
I want a remake.
I want you to redo this game.
Ground up, please.
I would like 4, even though I didn't beat it.
What?
Final Fantasy IV remake. Even though they made like,
but they made like 20 remakes of that already.
PS3 remake. Yeah.
You?
For me, I think any HD remakes I wanted, they've actually already been all announced or done.
Zone of Enders is out there.
Yeah, like I wanted Zone of Enders, it's being done. I wanted Snake Eater, it's being done. Ocarina of Time has a 3DS remake, which is good enough for me.
Yeah.
And the last one I want is Final Fantasy X, which is coming. So
there you go.
I mean, I don't really have anything else to ask for. Like, the only other thing I'd say is, I would play a Final Fantasy VII remake, like a remake. I would play that.
So whatever.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, you would. Don't fucking lie.
Yeah. You?
For me, it's, since you guys know me, you know, it's like I want a Vanillaware pack.
Yeah.
Just Odin Sphere and Grimoire HD remix.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
never
or,
gonna happen.
Or like a Clover box
Yes.
of like an HD remake of Okami and God Hand.
Oh. Wow.
So.
How'd
you know?
Foaming at the mouth.
Because you love it, right?
Never
so
gonna
much.
Yeah. Never gonna happen.
It'll never, like, those will never happen, I know, but.
Yeah. They're already down on the shitter.
But yeah, so he just says.
Vanillaware is gone now, right?
No. They're making, it's a new 2D brawler. It's called Dragon's Crown.
Oh, nice.
Is it been the same
way?
Like,
Marvel, though?
Hmm? Yeah, it's all HD 2D animation.
Nice.
And cool. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, so he also says just thanks for inspiring him to do a podcast. So that's really cool. Glad we inspired you to get with your friends and make one as well.
We can inspire people.
Yeah, so good luck in the future with your show. Hopefully you get more listeners than
I
us.
Need $20.
Why?
Why?
I'm inspiring the audience to give me $20.
What? For what?
I don't know. I need $20. I'll just take it.
Okay.
No.
Anyways, if you have anything you want to write in, you can always write into us at tniab.letters@gmail.com. Remember to follow us on
Twitter.
Twits.
Like us on Facebook.
And give us 5 stars
on iTunes. On Twitter, Vince is Vincent Sanchez. On Twitter, I am Kilroy Can't Kill. And on Twitter, Blaven doesn't have a Twitter.
Yeah. Also, the other thing, too. I didn't know my fucking iTunes downloads every one of our podcasts because I subscribed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that, too.
Damn.
You don't want it?
It's a lot of space.
Just delete it.
Just delete it, yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. I was like, holy shit, I have all that stuff.
You can go back and listen to yourself like, oh my god.
Okay, 30 episodes.
Jeez.
I've even put some episodes on my iPod, and I listen to it in the car to see what it's like on like a real stereo.
Yeah.
And
it's hella bass.
Yeah.
Hella bass.
Hella bass. Tiesto bass.
Anyways, this is the end of the show. Remember, if you're sticking along with us with the Shadow of the Colossus... game club.
Just stick along if you've already played it.
Yeah.
And it's just the same thing anyway, so.
Albert, you weakling for not jumping on with us this time. God.
Did he jump on with Catherine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
He actually emailed and said that he beat it like the first week we started it.
Yeah.
You gotta self-control, man. Pacing.
Just 10% less of your girlfriend every week and you'll be able to join us.
Yeah, the Colossi aren't that long.
Yeah.
So.
It's very annoying for a certain someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, if that's the end of the show for you guys here, then we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, actually, you said the stream site and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We're good to go. See you later.
Bye.
Welcome to the Shadow of Colossus Game Club. This is our second game club. This is part one. We will be doing the bosses 1 through 4. With me is
Blaven for the first time. First game club.
Anthony.
TJ. And that's awesome. So let's just get right into it. Actually, you know what? Before we talk about the game itself, let's get just quick first impressions to everybody, how you're liking the game, what your expectations, and what you hope to get out of it. Let's start with TJ.
Okay, let's see. I've always wanted to play this game. That's great. Ever since I found out you slay giant monsters. So I went in thinking this is going to be awesome, and I came out thinking this is awesome.
What about Bladen?
I came in thinking this is going to be awesome. I came out thinking this is not so awesome.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yep.
Want to elaborate?
Are we going to go in now?
Just quick impressions.
Honestly, the controls are a bitch.
Okay, that's fine. That's totally valid.
Yep.
They make me want to hurl. Whenever I was riding my horse, I don't know if maybe I'm just not used to it yet. But, my horse just started doing 360 turns, doing whatever shit it wanted. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck is it doing? I was like, I just want you to go straight.
Yeah.
And my horse goes, wah! And freaks out. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the first time you learn that going forward is not pressing up on the analog stick. It's just what the hell?
The easier way to think, just think of the horse as a car.
Yeah, but I was
accelerate,
I was like, ugh, whatever. And then, don't even get me started about the grip gauge and stuff. Like, not the grip gauge, but
the stamina
grip,
bar?
The grip button.
Yeah.
And it's all the way over there, and I'm like,
okay.
But there's just some things about this game.
Okay, that's totally cool. I'm sure you're going to elaborate more.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Anthony, as the veteran, the man who's beat the game multiple times already.
I beat the game when it originally came out, and I just expected a nicer-looking, smoother Shadow of the Colossus, and it gave me a smoother Shadow of the Colossus, but I can't really get much out of the visuals because I'm playing on SDTV. because my TV's still out of commission, or it's permanently out of commission. I have to buy a new one, right?
That's right.
So yeah, no, it's not so HD, but there's no frame dips anymore, on the PS2 version.
Oh, that's right. Oh, wow.
So yeah, no, all these games I've been playing on the PS3, like I mentioned on the podcast. SD.
Nice. As for myself, I've tried playing this game before. I stopped because I heard they were gonna do an HD version, so it's here. Played it, and you know what? It's like I'm with TJ, I want to fight big dudes, and I'm fighting them, and it's awesome. The only issue is I'm kind of sad, just because it's why am I killing these guys? I have no context
That's the other thing, too. It doesn't tell you enough, and it's just you look like a dick.
Yeah.
Because they're just doing their own thing. They look like they're just roaming around, whatever, I love my place, and then you fucking kill them.
I don't think it's a valid reason to hate the game, though.
I'm just saying that's another thing.
Okay.
I hate it because of the controls, a lot. But, it drops dead.
Yeah. You just fucking murder these things.
It's dead.
And I'm just my God.
And then
why?
After that, you get stabbed by
too.
What?
It's there's only one of them in the land.
Yeah. And this is all unique.
Yeah. And you straight up get tendril attacked at the end of it. And you're like, is there not something wrong with this picture that you do not see every time?
Yeah. But no, that's good. I mean, if it's got you to be that passionate about your opinion, that means it's really touched you, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, because it's they don't die just but they crumble, and it's oh.
Yeah, and then the life force goes into you, and you're
check out your character, the more you get tendrilled. Notice your character avatar.
Yeah. Well, I probably won't.
He's on the PS2 version.
Oh, yeah. No, they're pretty... eventually near the end, it's pretty glaring.
All right. Well, we'll start with the first Colossus, the Minotaurus.
Yeah, he's intro boss type stuff. You go from that shrine, you go straight,
and
then you're there.
I guess we should say, though, the intro is a man comes in on a horse with a dead girl. You don't know who this girl is. Could be his sister, could be his mom, could be his twin, could be his
girlfriend. You're making me come, because it's just so pretentious. I love it.
Yeah, and I don't know about you guys, but when he pulled that cape off, I was like, oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
He's like, Batman!
Reveal! And then it's PS2 physics at its finest.
That cape goes flying.
And then the cape lands on the... I actually was looking at the cape, and it just flies off.
Yeah, it's gone.
Really? What cape?
It's gone. It's just it slides off to the side of the screen, it has a mind of its own.
Yeah.
And it leaves.
Yeah, and then voice comes out and says, you want to save her, blah, blah, blah. You got the sword, let's do it, go fight the Colossus.
Yeah. It really wastes no time.
Yeah. So, this first Colossus, how'd you guys feel about it, Blaven?
This is where I wanted to go. The fuck's this shit? I was like, alright, so I'm grabbing onto you. Fucking stay on if I'm grabbing onto it. And it's like, I want you to shimmy from one corner to the next corner. Instead, he goes, and he jumps off. I'm just, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? I don't know. It just, I don't know if it, he didn't want to move or just me being clumsy.
Yeah.
But my guy would not transition to the next corner. And I'm like, oh, let's try jumping it. By the time I jump it, he's like shaking. I'm like, fuck, there goes my guy. And he lands head first and takes a tiny bit of damage. I'm like, good on you. You're tough.
Wait, well, yeah, did you jump to the top?
Dying in this game is very rare. Unless you fall off a cliff.
I did die. I got stomped on. I just really wanted to see what happened.
Oh, I died too.
Not a lot.
You've died?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you have regenerating health, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Very slowly. Yeah.
But it's always, like, that's why I never, that's why when I see it, I'm just like, well, look at it. It's never really going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, wasn't that halfway or just a minute ago?
Yeah.
where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Yeah. After a while, I found out what to do, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
Just gonna climb and stab him in the head.
Stab him in the face.
Yeah.
Very intro.
The blood effects.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
The black blood?
No, not even that. It's just like, it's just like, for some reason, these people were pipes, and you just stab it so it spews out. That's the other thing, too, is when you charge up your sword, when he makes a sound, is that the max?
When you're charging up, and then when the circle fills, it goes, huh!
Is it the max? That's okay. The max. That's what I thought. All right.
Okay, cool.
So
cool.
You can charge it up based on sound.
Yeah. TJ, thoughts on the first boss?
Yeah, it's like every first boss. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
I died with him, just to let you know.
Did you?
Yep. Because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do the fucking controls. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I just keep falling off. Actually,
when I first saw him, I was like, man, this game is awesome. Because he was huge. He's the size of a mountain.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything.
But the thing is, he's not that big.
I know. In comparison.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anthony, thoughts on the first boss?
It's first boss. It's very stock design. It's not too crazy of a Colossi. He's got a club to hit you with it.
Does he?
Yeah, he has a little club.
I never saw him hit me with it.
Because you're probably on his back the whole time.
Yeah, because you have to go around him anyways. He only swings if you're just like base. If you literally just stand in front of him and just whistle at him, eventually he'll be like,
"You can whistle at him." Oh, call your horse.
No, if you use L1
lock on
and lock onto the Colossi and then press X, you'll whistle at the Colossi and it won't trigger your.
You
horse.
Can lock on to the Colossi.
Yeah,
it's the first thing. So it's L1.
Lock onto the face. Jesus,
man, I did not.
Did you also do the thing, like, before you get on the Colossus, you hold up your sword and the light reveals where you should stab
him? Yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of hard to miss. That's not it. I'm going to move on this way. I'm going to shine my light this way.
It's straight? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, see, the other thing, too, about this... Oh, never mind. Yeah, I like the grip gauge thing. It's forgiving enough that you don't have that much time, and you should, you know, wait a bit before climbing your next person. And I also like how... He had railings on his back so that you can't fall off when you're on his platforms.
He's
nice for you.
He's nice for you. Yeah.
Like, I know you're gonna kill me. I'm gonna make this as easy as possible.
Yeah. For me, I really like this first boss. It really like sets the tone of the game. It's like, oh man, big fucking dude. I'm gonna take it down. But it is sad. It's like he's just minding his own business, and it's like you walk up to him, and you're like, have a fucking sword in the face.
He's like, yeah, he's just hanging out in his, like, cave, just chilling. It's like, yeah, you know what?
In a cave?
No, it's just, like, a little area. It's like a cave, like closed off area.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, you know, this is fun. I like green grass.
And I love it when you start to climb him. The music changes and it becomes all epic.
Yeah.
And then it is a game that requires patience, like, knowing when and not to move. ultimately, I don't know why they let you have the ability to swing your sword, because...
It kind of looks funny. It's just like,
Yeah, but it ultimately is not there for anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, except for killing those lizards.
Use your arrows for that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only killing the black lizards, finding out that it doesn't do anything.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, this is a good introduction boss, but it really amounts to nothing, and then you get friggin' absorbed black magic.
And then you get shot back to the temple.
Yeah, I like that, how they just automatically brings you back to the temple.
You know what I think it is? I don't think I was as taken by the fact that I'm fighting gigantic monsters, is why I don't like it as much as everybody else.
Why?
I just am not. Like, I'm just like, oh, I'm climbing this huge thing. I'm not impressed by it anymore. I guess I'm just desensitized to it.
That can't be a thing, because a lot of new games are all about, like, huge, epic monsters. Boss fights, or just anything. Like, big any... Like in what is it? The game that I was playing by Epic, that's not Gears of War.
Bulletstorm.
There's a one point where you're just being chased by a giant wheel. And it's huge. It's, like, bigger than seven of those Colossi.
Mm, okay.
And so. I'm just, like, I guess there, I'm just, like, it's another big thing that I have to get up onto its weak point and then kill it. So I guess I wasn't as enthralled by it.
Yeah.
Playing it on the PS2, that was still pretty new.
Well, so that's the thing, though. Yeah. Now that I think just because of my time.
Yeah.
It's a product of the time.
I think, yeah, like, if you played it, had it, when it came out, your opinion would have been different. But, yeah, I understand that. No, like, that makes sense.
And, like, I am used to, like, giant robot battles.
Yeah, there you go. So, the second one is the Tauros. This is the one by the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you start there on your horse. Anthony, how'd you figure this one out?
I figured it out when I originally played the game.
Yes.
I actually didn't know what to do.
Oh.
I saw him walk. I saw his feet glow. I just didn't put, like, two and two together.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know how eventually when you take a while, like, the voice of God comes down. He's like, look for weak points and stuff. And then I was like, oh, those feet are probably something.
Yeah.
And so you can take out his back foot and then to make him, like, fall all the way over. But what you can do is if you take out one of his front feet first, he just kind of kneels over. It's a longer climb to get to the back,
mm-hmm.
but you get on him faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, time trial tip.
Cool. TJ?
I thought it was just as easy as the first one.
Yeah?
Shine your just light on him, find a weakness. As soon as you figure out that you're supposed to shoot the bottom of his feet, you're good.
Yeah. I figured it out when I found out I had arrows. And I was just like, switch a weapon. I might have different weapons. Oh, I have an arrow. Huh, there goes your feet. And then same deal, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a pain because in the spine there's different ridges, so you have to climb over them.
Yeah, climb over them. That was kind of dumb.
Oh, climbing's annoying in this. For some reason, when I tell him to get onto the ledge, he moves, but he stays where he is.
Right?
Yes! See?
I never had this issue. My only issue is getting on the horse.
Another one, too! My guy just does not like it to go on horse. I'm just like, jump on the horse. I'm right on the side. Hoo-ah!
I just jump and hold R1 and he actually grabs it.
I just jump on the horse. Okay. That's all I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've never had problems climbing. Just get on that horse.
No, I always do.
Oh, really? Wow.
And it sucks because I'll be hanging there and then my stamina's going down. I'm like, shit, I have to get on this guy. So then I just let go, hoping that I'll land on some part of his back that I can stand on. But it doesn't happen.
Wow. All
right.
Awesome. All right, so for boss two, for myself, I actually didn't use the arrows. I used my horse, and I just did the run and jump until you reach a limb.
Oh, nice.
Run and jump.
Oh.
Yeah.
He just ran and then pressed triangle off the horse and jumped off the horse and grabbed something.
Oh, you can just stand on your horse. High.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck it. That's the only one being on this thing.
You can stand on your horse, right?
Yeah, there are a couple different tricks you can do with him.
So I just jumped on him.
Stand and duck on him?
If you're standing still, if you press back X, you'll go straight into full speed mode. If while you're running full speed, you press back X twice, you'll do a full 180, and then go fast. You can stand up on him, like stand,
mm-hmm.
By pressing L1 triangle.
That's the problem.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah. And then you can go on, like, kind of go on his sides and ride on the side of the horse.
God. See, like, that's a big issue with this game, like, I don't care that they don't tell me the story or any context, but at least tell me, like...
The fucking controls.
Yeah.
There are some cool stuff, too, like jump attacks.
Unless, like, is this in the manual?
You have jump attacks?
It isn't, yeah.
It is sort of in the manual.
It's kind of... There are secret ones. Like, the sword one I'm talking about, if you jump L1 sword swing, you just do a jumping dive, like, Link style.
Oh, yeah, I do that one all the time, but for no reason.
Yeah, and just stab them. And it's an automatic full swing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to charge it up.
Yeah.
It's like a good open air.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a secret move and all that. That's like a secret control. It's not in the manual.
See, like, I don't understand that sort of design in that. Like, if you're going to put these controls in the game, at least give me half of them or something.
All about the experience, bro.
I don't have time for that shit.
Yeah. It's like game facts.
It does kind of suck. Yeah.
But, okay, so you guys beat him.
Yo.
Sweet. Move on to boss three. This one was the... they called it... So basically, he was the knight with a sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys kept saying that you were interested in how we got onto him. Like,
no, that was me.
That was just TJ.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what happened? Why?
I couldn't get onto him.
You didn't...
That wasn't all... The most frustrating part was getting there.
Oh.
Okay, because you had a lever.
Going through all the lanes and stuff.
I went around the whole freaking mountain.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I was like, where is the entrance to this guy? I finally found it. I was like, it was here the whole time.
There's an entrance?
Yeah, to get there.
Like, to get to the pond with the circular things. He kept... Because there's, like, you go through the mountain, and then you have to go backwards when you get into the mountain. It's like...
Oh!
It's a winding path. Yeah. So he went all the ways except that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you meant, like, how to get into the big platform he's on.
No. That was equally annoying.
Really?
Did you go around the land?
No. I knew where to go. Like, you're supposed to go swim, up to the... go up out. But the part where you're supposed to jump onto,
yeah.
When I was trying to jump onto the other ledge, he wouldn't have any of that.
Right?
And then I'd fall. Right. And this guy is the slowest swimmer ever.
Right.
Let's just hold R1.
That doesn't make it that much faster.
You swim underwater and you do swim faster, but it's not crazy faster.
Right. He doesn't like to grab things you tell him to grab.
It's not fast enough for me to notice.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think it's because I've never had any climbing issues.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
See,
maybe
you're just me and Vince are coming from the same camp. We didn't really have climbing issues. Like, yeah. I learned eventually to just wait for that animation for when he reaches his hand up, he's going to jump. He's going to jump up. So if I, like, when I start, if I just start mashing triangle.
But I'm telling you right now, I'm not mashing triangle. Just, I jump, I aim my direction, and sometimes he just will not have any of that ledge.
Yeah, like, I'll aim, like, he'll be over here on this ledge, and I'll aim behind him.
And he'll be like this, looking, and he's like, I'm going to get to that ledge. He gets there, and he's like, not today, and then falls.
not with me, like, he just doesn't go towards the ledge. He jumps in a completely different direction.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome. Just, I'm telling you, there's some, I know that you guys never had problems, but it's out there. It's.
I'm sure other people have.
I'm not denying that it's not there.
Like, I'm not telling you right now, like, me and TJ, we're not dumb. Like, we obviously know
what we're supposed to. No one's saying you are.
No, I'm just saying, like, it can't, like, if you think that it might just be us, like, you know, we've been playing video games for quite a while, so.
Yeah. We understand.
Yeah.
We get it.
We're just saying it's interesting to hear that you're having these problems.
Yeah, it's weird. I think that's because it happened to be right off the bat. I'm like, the fuck's all the hype about this game? What the fuck you want you to jump in the direction I told you to? I guess I kept thinking about it from a Drake perspective, too. Like, that game spoils you on jumping.
And I guess, yeah, because the controls in that game are really nice.
Yeah.
They are.
Anyways, the boss. So, did it take you a while to figure it out, DJ?
Yeah.
Okay, that one.
Really? This is how I thought you were supposed to do. I thought when he attacks you and his sword's in the ground, I noticed, like, a little notch. I thought I was supposed to, like, jump and grab onto it as he's lifting it out. Turns out you're not supposed to.
Get smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what happens when you get... What happens when you do that?
Off. Oh. And you fall into the dirt.
Tried climbing his legs, nothing to grab onto. Eventually, I just started hitting him because, like, I shoot him with my arrow.
Nothing.
So when your
life went down, just...
So, when you figured out he was supposed to hit the stone plate, was it just by accident, or did you realize it?
No. I was like, okay, I guess I kind of realized it. Like, oh, look, there's stones.
That's probably something.
That probably has a meaning.
So that was what it was to me. I was just like, oh, you're going to hit it, but can you hit stone?
After that, it was...
Yeah, same fair.
Much easy.
He's a simple fair to get to the top.
Yeah. This guy is known as, like, the most annoying when you climb him because he shakes the most.
Oh.
And just him shaking his head all the time. It's just like, God damn it.
When I got to his chest, I was like, can I attack your chest? Or do I have to be, like, spider monkey in your chest and then stabbing you?
That's really weird.
Can you tell me?
You have to grab onto his fur.
Right?
Yeah, it's retarded.
Can you just fucking just...
That area does have weird grabbing issues. Where you have to jump to get onto his thing, but also the armor piece above him is also grabbable.
So you'll be hanging instead of...
A lot of times you'll be hanging on the armor instead of grabbing onto his fur.
Yeah.
And so basically what I've learned is just run full speed at his chest until you kind of... Your feet clip onto the fur, and then you grab.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, no, like, this is the first spot... Like, I love when you get on his sword... And he starts, and you're running up that sword.
Yeah.
And it looks really cool.
It's really fun. Yeah, it does.
And then when you get to the top of his head, I didn't even kill him. I was just looking around. I'm like, man, I'm really high up now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a really cool way to get up him with bypassing him hitting the stone and everything, which is when he puts his sword into the dirt, you stand a couple feet above that gap in the front of his sword, right? And then you duck down.
Yeah.
So you have, like, sturdy ground. And so as soon as he lifts his sword up, there's, like, an arc.
Yeah.
He'll snap at one point. At that point, you jump at that snap, and you'll fly all the way up to his head.
Wow.
So that's what I do for time trial. Wow. Because getting him to hit it and then hitting the ground is just too time consuming.
That's cool.
So then you just jump, and you're flying through the air.
So you jump Spider-Man style. So you just jump on his sword, and then when he snaps up, you jump as well.
Yeah, it does take some timing. Like, I didn't get it the first couple times.
It does take practice.
Yeah. But eventually you'll know this part. Notice this part where when he's at the arc, it kind of snaps. Like, the animation's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And so you jump at that point, and you'll either go right to his head, or if you kind of mistime it a bit, you'll land on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Which at that point you can still get up to his head without breaking on.
But I think it gets it on this one, right? That's it. That's all you guys' thoughts on the third boss?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah.
He was kind of a cool design. Like he was super skinny and different from the last two.
Oh, that's the other thing I was saying. I got hit by the sword.
Oh, how'd that go?
Your guy lies down and gets stunned for, like, fucking ever.
Yeah.
Like, he just lies there. Like, does. Is he dead?
Kind of. Shit, then kill him? Like, when he gets up, he's just like,
ugh. And he's like, what the
This man's invincible.
Yeah, also, this man loves to dodge very slowly. It's like, the sword's coming down, buddy, dodge. And dodge it's roll. Just like, boom, click your feet. You're dead. And he does, but I like how he dodges not nicely. He dodges and he's like, oh, sort of stumbling.
Yeah, I like how he moves around like he's not a warrior. He's kind of just like a boy with a sword.
Yeah, you kind of notice that with the when you swing the sword too. Yeah. He's who's not invincible. Trained at all. He's
like, who's invincible, though? He runs on magic.
Yeah, he runs on magic.
He does run on magic. All right, so the last one we're gonna do this week is the fourth boss, and he was Tasselman, we'll call him, right?
Tasselman?
What was his name, though?
His name was Equus Bellator Apex.
No. I call him the bearded unicorn.
For some reason, I call him the zebra boss.
Interesting. Zebra. He's got dreads. The dreaded unicorn.
Wow, that's a great name. Blavin, how did you feel about this boss?
I did a ton of stupid shit with this boss. Because I was like, I don't understand how to beat this. I'm like, I'm sure these tunnels do something. Let's try something funny. And then I ran into the... Because what happened first was that I ran into the bushes. Yeah. And then he just peered his head. Then I'm like, oh, I can try my tassels. Oh, you're not doing it again. You have to hide again. And I go in the bushes and I kneel down. I'm like, oh, wait, you can see me. You're too tall. And that was me for like 10 minutes. And then, and then I did the whole thing where I was like, wait a minute. What if I just stand here and be like, what's up? Disappeared. Where am I go? And then he's like, oh, where is he? And then I was like, okay.
You kind of take advantage of these fumbling creatures' intelligence.
Yeah. Did it take me, I'm going to admit, it took me at least 20 minutes to figure it out.
Really?
Like, that, for me, that was just me shooting arrows at it. And then I was like, what do I do now? Attention. I'm trying many different things.
And for me, it's like, I kind of knew that these tunnels were supposed to do something, like Blavin said. I just didn't know how or what, like, when I was supposed to approach it. And so, like, when I first played, I was like, okay, I'm hanging out in the tunnel, shooting arrows at him, and then I'll disappear into the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll wait for him to kind of like turn around or peer his head, but I would always come out way too fast before he was in the animation of looking.
Yeah.
Then he would just see me and it'd start over. I was like, I don't know what to do. It probably took me like an hour when I first played it.
Wow.
It took me a long time.
Wow.
I just couldn't figure it out for the life of me.
Crazy. TJ, how was the fourth boss for you?
When I figured out what you were supposed to do with the tunnels, it was easy. Like, at first I thought you were supposed to, what I tried was, I got him close to the hill of the tunnel.
Yeah.
I thought you were supposed to jump on his legs.
Yeah.
No.
You're not supposed to. Yeah. So I was like, alright, I'm just gonna head into the tunnel. So I went to the tunnel, ran all the way to the other side, and I looked at him, and I noticed he was looking into the tunnel. I was like, oh!
Did you guys... I'm supposed to go on his back. How did you do it then before?
Okay, yeah, so you get there on... I'm like, I was looking at his legs. I'm like, okay, they all got like the cuffs on them. He can't climb. I'm like, but you pass the hills going there. And I'm like, okay, so maybe I'm supposed to get him to the hill so that I can get high enough to jump on him. So instead, I just go to the hill and I go inside and I wait until he's closer. But then it starts shaking and then like it's dark. And so I peek out and I'm like, hey, there's tassels here. And I just jump on them.
Oh,
you got it literally lucky. Took me like all of 5 minutes. And I'm like,
oh, you got lucky then.
Yeah.
Because you started
doing there, stuff. There is another way to get up on him. On one of the other hills, instead of peering down into the tassels, he actually goes on top of the hill and looks down.
That's what I did.
Into it,
yeah. No,
and then you jump on his back.
That's what I was going to ask you guys. Did you beat him facing into the tunnel or him on the top of the hill looking down?
The first time I did it, I beat him, him on top of the tunnel looking down.
Yeah, that's
same.
How I did.
Yeah, and same, I got onto his back. But from now, from like all the other times I beat it, I just go on his tassels because it's super easy.
Really? How do you do that?
Oh, wait, you guys stay on the back?
Yeah.
Oh, I did the tassels.
Yeah, no, you can get on the tassels or the back.
Oh, yeah, the tassels, you go right to his face.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I was trying to get on the tassels, but I couldn't do it. And I was just like, this is much easier.
So a lot of times what I do is that I'll just lure him to the hill and like not even do the tunnel stuff. And I'll just ride my horse, jump off the hill, off my horse onto his tassel.
So is that the time travel thing? How do you do in time trials?
That. Like that.
Oh.
Cool.
It's fast.
I didn't know that you could jump off your horse. That saves a lot of time now.
Yeah. A lot of stuff you don't know you can do in this game.
Yeah.
But that's the end of this edition of Game Club. Do you guys want to just throw any other impressions while going into the next four bosses? Or
the game doesn't really tell any story in the next four bosses either.
When does it ever?
Thanks for the spoiler.
About midway. It's not a spoiler because there's nothing happens. It's just you killing dudes.
I didn't know that.
He did.
I didn't know that.
I have nothing to look forward to.
I know. Fuck. You ruined it.
I know what boss you're on. You know.
I don't know. I'm just joking.
I think this game needs more Sephiroth. He would already won.
Yeah.
He would have come down from the light and just stabbed the Colossus through the chest.
Of course.
And so I don't quite read you on this sample. So do you like this game, Blavin, or no?
You seem like in the middle.
It seems like you hate it. Like you're looking for reasons to not like it.
I'm in the middle. Like once I got used to the controls, I like it, but I really hope that it just doesn't frustrate me needlessly anymore, the controls. I don't know. Yeah. See, you laugh because it probably will.
There's just moments where I think that you're gonna.
Yeah, because I'm thinking now, because like it's gonna be trickier to aim precisely on the certain parts of a Colossus, and I'm just gonna be like,
use lock on.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, lock on does help a lot.
We'll see.
Yeah,
I don't get me wrong, I enjoy it. I just wish the controls were a bit
more refined.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I read an article about it, and the guy did say that he wanted the controls to be like this, so it makes it a little bit more challenging. And yeah. Like, I'm not alone.
I don't know. See, like that's the same opinion I have towards Monster Hunter, and you love that.
Yeah.
Like, right? I don't like. I think the problem Monster Hunter is controls, but everybody seems to love it except me, right?
Yeah. So, it seems like these kind of Japanese games, it's Demon Souls, yeah. Shadow, its animations are very deliberate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to take that into consideration when playing.
They look cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. It's just,
you got to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Any last words, TJ?
Let's play Numblast.
No. Good.
You didn't get it.
Sweet. So next week we're doing bosses 5 through 8, right? 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 4 bosses. 5 through 8.
How many colossi are there?
16.
Oh, okay.
No, you don't get halfway
up. What? Last thing. How do you guys feel about the only enemies being the colossi? Like, it's just the big open landscape and then just bosses. Boss, boss, boss.
Cool. I like it.
I like it. I love boss battles. Like, as bad as they've been in the past recent years, I've always adored boss battles.
I also like it because, I mean, they're all unique in their own way.
What about you, TJ? Same?
Pretty much. I like how you just get straight to it. You don't have to go through, like...
It's just that some people who've played the game that I know, one of their complaints is that there's no in-the-middle enemies. It's just bosses.
For what? What purpose would they serve?
Like, they find the journey to the boss super boring. It's just like, oh, I'm just riding my horse.
It's not like you're doing it for very long, though.
Yeah, I know. It's still...
This ain't Wind Waker.
Yeah, it's still there. It's still there to play.
Wind Waker is boring.
Ride on your boat?
Yeah.
Like,
same thing with Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah. So this wasn't... Like, I mean, thank you that the journeys aren't that long. And they're interesting sometimes. Especially for the canopy one. I like that one. With the swimming and stuff. Mm-hmm. I took a risk. I was like, can I guy swim? Let's go for it, buddy.
Like, I really hope so. It sucks when you find out your horse can't swim.
Yeah.
Oh, it dies?
No, it just doesn't go in your water.
It doesn't go in the water. Oh. It stops.
Yeah, you're like, oh.
Damn.
You suck.
I was hoping Ago would die. Because he's all about Ago. Ago. Ago.
It's like the only dialogue in that game.
Yeah. I gotta say...
The gibberish really does it for you.
Yeah, I love it. The classes look great, but the world looks like shit. I don't know if it's just me.
They put a lot of detail into those bosses.
Like, when you're just... Especially that first opening planet of the shrine.
Yeah.
It's just green.
World generator. Go.
It's like, whoa, this looks like...
They made it in RPG Maker.
It's like Alpha.
Can you actually go back to the places you killed the Colossi?
Yeah.
What is there?
There's a beam of light, and you can do Reminisce, which is you fight the Colossi again, but it's all in black and white. It's or sepia tone.
I thought you could just touch the statue and go back to...
After you beat the game, that's how you do time trials.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Awesome. So remember, 5 through 8 next week. We'd love to hear what you guys are talking, or your opinions on Shadow.
Yeah, send us emails on your opinions of 1 to 4.
Yeah, or 5 to 8.
Yeah,
know.
Either way.
Either way, we'll read them, so that'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
See you guys next week, then.
Later.
Bye.